I got myself in this predicament. Dig it, you can get it in Genesis. How I sinned against the infinite, kicking it in my wickedness. And now my wicked heart is full of blemishes. In the thick of it, I thought I was sick of it. Look, so my heart was set on fixing it, but I didn't realize that I didn't know how to get rid of it. My soul was dirty from sin, and it needed purging and cleansing. So I turned to religion. That's what I need. I'll live better than the rest.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the God Reigns Sportscast. This is the sportscast where we talk about everything except women's sports and NASCAR, because as we've seen time and time again, nobody cares about those two things. So we don't talk about women's sports and NASCAR. This is your host. I am Cody Almanzar. I am the host of this podcast. This is the time we like to get together just in the week and do smaller episodes, maybe 30 minutes at a time, to talk about the things that are going on right now. And man, oh man, are there many things going on. In the last episode, I made the case for Mike Malone to be coach of the year, NBA coach of the year, and then they lose by 38 points today to the Indiana Pacers. The Nuggets got blown out. Now, this is wrapping up. This is the fourth game of a four-game road trip. They won the previous three. They're tired. They need to get home. But it seems like they were a half game up on the Warriors. And it seems like whenever the Nuggets get up at all on the Warriors, they can't sustain that. Like, they're okay being in second place. It just seems like that's their mentality, which worries me a little bit going into the playoffs. And maybe that's youth. Maybe that's inexperience, but it just doesn't seem to be there yet with them. They'll get it. Malone will make sure of that, because he is the best coach in the NBA this year. But besides that, besides the Nuggets getting blown out, there are tons of things happening today. The NCAA tournament, for those of you, I'm sure many of you are watching the March Madness, and it is madness that's happening out there. We saw Liberty, yeah, they got beat pretty handily, but man, they were right there for a while. I really didn't want them to win, but they were hanging with them. They were right there and then ended up losing by 10, I think, or something, 8 or 10 points, something like that. But the big story today, it seems like so far, the big story has to be the Duke and UCF basketball game. Lots of star power. What an incredible game. If you didn't see that game, you missed out on a great game. It was fun to watch. I watched that with my son, who is also joining me this evening in the studio. So we are going to talk with my son, Zeke. Say hi, Zeke.
Hello.
Zeke is here. We're going to talk a little bit with him about this basketball game, because he was very, very impressed with a man named Zion Williamson. Now, I don't trust Duke to win at all. I don't think they will. Maybe they will, just on sheer talent alone. I don't think they will. But man, oh man, is Zion Williamson awesome. Now, in saying that, I'm going to say to you up front right now that I think Zion Williamson is not only the best college basketball player this year, I think he might be the best college basketball player of all time. That guy is a monster. He is incredible. But then also you had RJ Barrett, who I've been really disappointed with every game I've seen. Cam Reddish, the same thing. But what about on the other side, on UCF? I was really, really impressed with the play of Aubrey Dawkins, who lit up everything. He threw up, everything went in that he threw up, except the last shot to win the game. But man, Aubrey Dawkins went bananas today on Duke, as well as Taco Fall. That's like a cheat code in a basketball game, having Taco Fall on your team. But let me ask Zeke this question and get his answer for all of you, because I think it's important to hear just not just my perspective, but the perspective of a 10-year-old sports fanatic. So Zeke, in watching the game today against Duke, what were your initial thoughts on Zion Williamson?
He's big, He's fast, he can jump, and when he catches the ball, it makes a slamming sound.
Yeah, that was one thing that we both noticed whenever he would rebound or catch and he'd pop the ball real loud. Oh man, he is just so big and physical and strong. He's just a monster human. Now, one of the things, before we get too much into Zion and the UCF game here, that I wanted to bring up was, you guys heard me talk about Fletcher McGee a couple podcasts ago and just saying how he was incredible hitting all those threes. And I stand by that. That guy's incredible. But the day after I made that podcast, he goes 0 for 12, 0 for 13 on three-pointers against Kentucky, and Wofford loses. That's a pretty good choke job right there, if you ask me. Now, the same thing, though, with the Nuggets. And maybe this podcast is the new Madden curse, because the same thing happened with the Nuggets. I make this case for Coach Malone, and they lose by 40 points the next day. So, if this is the new Madden curse, let me just say right away, I hope the Golden State Warriors go injury-free the rest of the season and none of their top players get hurt so that the Nuggets can win the Western Conference. But I was disappointed with Fletcher McGee. Let me tell you a little bit about him, because if you guys didn't know, he is the all-time three-point field goal leader in college basketball history. He made 509 three-pointers in his career. 509 three-pointers made in his career. The next guy is Travis Bader from Oakland. He did it in 2015 with 504. Then J.J. Redick, who probably most of you know from Duke, but also his that he's been in the NBA for a while now. He had 457. So think about that. He's third and with 457 free throws, and Fletcher McGee has 509. Or did I say free throws?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, I've already got something for my correction section in the next podcast. Three-pointers made, and then you've got David Holston, Chris Clemens, Keydran Clark, whoever that is, Damon Lynn, Kevin Foster, Tyler Hall, and the list goes on and on. You know who's way down the list is Steph Curry with 414 three-pointers made. But Fletcher McGee, man, 509. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a great NBA superstar, but that's incredible to hit 509 three-pointers. In Division I basketball. That's tough to do. So, Fletcher McGee, Wofford, I was pulling for you, and you blew it. You blew it. So now, let's take a look around here, what we've got. We've got Virginia Tech going to be squaring off with Duke here in the next round. We've got LSU and Michigan State going to be squaring off. Who cares about them? And then we've got Gonzaga and Florida State, Texas Tech, and Michigan are going to be squaring off. Then, on the other side, we know Kentucky beat Wofford. We're still waiting on Ohio State and Houston, I think. I haven't seen the score there. Auburn and North Carolina are going to play each other. Tennessee and Purdue are going to play each other. And then we're still waiting on Virginia and Oklahoma, Oregon and UCI are going to be playing to determine that side of the bracket. What was pretty impressive to me, though, today was the resiliency of Iowa. They were down by, 20 at one point, and then they came back to tie the game, and Tennessee had to make a run to win the game, and they barely pulled it off, 83-77. That was a pretty cool game. I like Tennessee. I want to see them go to the championship out of that side. I was pretty impressed with the resiliency of Iowa. So that was kind of a fun game. But let's go back now to Duke and UCF. If you guys didn't see that game, man, you missed out on probably what's been the most exciting game of the tournament so far for somebody who doesn't have a team in the tournament. I understand if you have a team in the tournament, these games are better for you. But Zeke, what did you think of this game when you were watching it, because you got pretty into it there towards the end when UCF pulled up, and then just take us through that last thing that Zion did right there to score. Remember when he scored right there at the end? Taco Fall got his fifth foul and fell out of the game. Taco fell out of the game, and Taco fell out of the tournament. But go ahead and explain to us. Take us through that last play there.
Well, I can't really say much except that Zion did the smartest thing that I could. I couldn't have done smarter. I don't think anybody would have done smarter than that. That was just a really smart play to draw the last foul, and they won.
And what did he do? Do you remember? Do you remember the play?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Yes. He got the ball. He started dribbling down, and then Taco came up to block his shot, and he jumped into Taco's arms and made the shot and fell down.
Yeah, it was a pretty intense play, being down by three at that point. He made the shot, missed the free throw, though. But that's, you said something, Zeke, that I think is important, because what I see is not just the physical attributes with Zion, as he's just an incredibly built athlete. That guy's unbelievably strong. He's huge. He's quick. He's fast. All of it, man. And he can flat out fly when he jumps, right?
Yes.
We saw that play where he jumped over everybody and caught the ball on that pass and then dunked it. But he's very, very smart. He falls all the time for whatever reason. He loses the handle of the ball sometimes. But that guy is just a smart basketball player. He doesn't look like he would be, but he is. And just taking over the game in the last few seconds there was incredible to me. That shows that guy's made for star power, because what you see a lot of times with these college athletes is they start kind of shying away from the big stage, or they don't perform well. You see guys like Steph Curry who did. You see what he's turning out to be. You see guys who step up in the last few minutes of a game when they need to. And those are the guys who make an impact in the NBA. And that's what you see with Zion. And I understand now it's different, because we see these guys from when they're eighth graders. You know, we've seen Zion for years now, just his progress, because there's been so much hype about him. But that guy is flat out incredible. And you can't take that away from him or them. And UCF played a great game. They really did. I mean, Taco Fall, as bad as he is, I mean, he's not a bad player, but he's just not that good. I mean, he's 7'6", so it's kind of hard to get everything going in the right direction for him. But he is a game changer. When he was in, the momentum would completely shift, because he made Duke play different than they wanted to. They couldn't drive to the basket and just dunk. They couldn't go in for an easy layup, because Taco was there to block the shot. He's incredible. It was just with his game-changing ability. I think that guy will be good one day. We'll see. You know, I wanted Zion to dunk on him, or at least try, because Taco said he's not going to become a poster, one of Zion's posters. So I wanted there to be that. I think that's different in college to professional. Is it seems like you say that about, well, you think back to the good old days when Kenyon Martin and Vince Carter and those guys were dunking all over everybody. They would have tried to dunk on whoever said that. They wouldn't have let that stand without at least trying, you know, and Zion didn't do it. So I wanted to see that from him, but, you know, they pulled out the win. It was a big game. It was pretty incredible to see how they did that, how they came back. And college basketball, you know, you forget what it's like, because with the Nuggets, they were down by 13, then 16, then 22, and then I just shut it off, the game, because I knew what was happening. You could tell the players looked lazy. They were slowing down. They weren't hustling on defense. And so I was thinking, well, it's over. They are going to lose. So I shut it off, and they lose by 40. Duke and UCF, I had no idea. It went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth so much that you could not tell who was going to win the game. That's one thing about college basketball and March Madness in specific that is fun for me. And it's fun. I mean, that's why so many people get hyped about this time of year. So Zeke, if you're looking at the bracket, and maybe I got rid of the bracket. No, I didn't. Okay. Who are you picking, Zeke? Let's go through this here because we want to hear your picks. And I want to hear you, the listener. I want to hear your picks. I know you're probably going to be wrong, most of you, but I still want to hear your picks because it's fun to hear them. And then we're going to talk a little bit about our March Madness that we're going to be doing for the nicknames. And I need you guys to listen to that because I need those nicknames submitted. But let's go ahead and ask Zeke here, and we'll just get the games that are done for sure. And we'll figure out who he's going with. So Zeke, up here at the top, we have Duke and Virginia Tech who are going to battle it out next round. Who are you picking to win that game?
You know, I've got to go with, Virginia Tech. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech because Duke, this time, they struggled, and they're young, and they're learning, and I've just got to go with Virginia Tech.
All right. That's a pretty good pick. That's a pretty, you know, I wouldn't take you if I was going to bet on a game, but that's pretty, that's a pretty good pick. I like it. All right. So next then we have LSU versus Michigan State. Who are you picking?
This one's tough. I don't think either one, but,
You don't think either one's going to win?
One of them's got to win. I don't.
Great. You just gave me another thing for my correction section, Zeke. Come on. Come on. Let me say this. Michigan State is always tough at tournament time. It doesn't matter if they're the last seed or the first seed. Michigan State is always, always tough. You know why?
Why?
Because their coach is a good coach. But go ahead and make a pick. Tom Izzo is a great coach.
I don't know. They're both pretty good, but I mean, I'm going to go with Michigan State.
Good pick. Green, right? Go big green. Mm-hmm. Is it because of Le'Veon Bell?
No.
Yeah. Do you like Le'Veon Bell?
No.
Yeah. Me neither. All right, so let's go then, and then we move and we turn to the next side of the bracket, the one that's been played in Mormon land in Salt Lake City. We have Gonzaga versus Florida State. Who are you taking there, Zeke?
Well, I've had my choice for a little while. I'm going to go with Florida State.
Really? Wow, because of Malik Beasley?
No.
Oh. You just don't trust the Zags?
Nope.
All right. Okay. And then we turn our attention there to Tulsa. Ooh, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah, that's where that one was played. All right. So we're going to turn our attention there to Texas Tech and Michigan. Who are you picking?
I'm going to go with Michigan.
Michigan. All right. That's a pretty good pick. I think that's a good one. Now, the other games we're still waiting on. Oh, wait, we've got North Carolina and Auburn. That one's a done deal. And Purdue and Tennessee. So who are you picking, Purdue or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Me too. Okay, and then North Carolina and Auburn?
I'm going to go with North Carolina.
All right. You're sticking with number one, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, those are the picks that we have or the games that we have that are clear right now. We're still waiting on some of these to finish up. As you can see, Zeke is all into March Madness. He is taking Virginia Tech over Duke. He's taking Florida State over the Zags. It's a upset mindset for Zeke, which is good. You want risk takers during March Madness, and that's what we have here. So I want to say to you guys, there are zero perfect brackets left that have been submitted to ESPN.com. Maybe some guy has a perfect bracket out there, but the ones that have been submitted to ESPN, nobody has them anymore. So what I'm going to do is say, if you guys have a bracket that you filled out, post it in the Facebook group. Let us see it, or give a voice message and say who you've got in your, 16, or I guess, yeah, you're 16. Let me know who's in the Sweet 16 and, that you have, who you got in your Elite Eight, Final Four, and then your champion. And let's see that, because I think it would be interesting to see who's got these teams in. Probably most of us still have, a Duke in there, or UNC, maybe Tennessee, but those teams in there. So let me know who you've got in there. I'd like to see it. Now, I want to tell you guys a little bit more about this bracket, nickname bracket that I told you about, because I'd like to get started on that. So let's just start with one side here. We're going to go 16 nicknames from NFL players. What are the best 16 nicknames? I want you guys to submit them, and it's going to be totally biased, because I'm going to put them up there and we'll vote on them each week until we get a winner. So 16 NFL nicknames, and this can be from all-time NFL. So it can go back to Refrigerator Perry. It can go back to however far back you can remember. I know some of you are very old and will be able to remember a long, long time ago. It could go to Matty Ice, which is the dumbest nickname. I'll tell you this. If somebody submits that, that as a nickname, that automatically wins my loser's bracket. Even though I don't have a loser's bracket, but if I did, and I will create one just for that nickname, because that is the worst nickname ever. Matty Ice. Now everybody's going to submit it, but don't submit that to me, because it's a horrible nickname. But there are, and the same thing, like Le'Veon Bell, they call him Juice. You know, it's stupid. That was O.J. Simpson. I know O.J. Simpson and all his baggage and all that stuff, but still, you know, it's stupid to call Le'Veon Bell Juice. So what are some nicknames that you guys can think of from years gone by that you want to submit? NFL only. We're talking NFL only. We're not talking basketball or baseball yet. We'll get into those, but NFL only. One of the baseball nicknames I do like, and I'll tell you this right now, just because I know it'll be submitted, but is Pudge Rodriguez. I like that nickname, is Pudge. My son is a catcher, and he watches Ivan Rodriguez highlights, because we like the way he plays. He played with fire, and he was a stud. But I like the nickname Pudge. But go ahead and submit some nicknames for NFL players only. Speaking of NFL players only, did you see that Rob Gronkowski retired? Oh man, that almost was as good for me as when Ray Lewis retired, as when Terrell Suggs left the Ravens, as when Joe Flacco got traded, as when Vontaze Burfict goes to the Raiders. This announcement of Gronkowski retiring, it made me so happy to see him go away. So I am happy to see Rob Gronkowski go into retirement. What a great thing that was. What did you think of that, Zeke, about Gronk retiring?
He's crazy. But yeah, I've got to agree with you. That was awesome. Now there won't be a gigantic tight end running everyone over and spiking in the end zone anymore. So
Well, if there is, let's hope it's Vance McDonald.
Yes, yes, yes.
And see, the thing with Gronk, man, is he always killed the Steelers because all game long he would be quiet. Three-fourths of the game, he wouldn't do a thing. And then the last half of the last quarter, he would make some stupid catch that would get all the momentum going. And then he would either catch it for a touchdown or make just some crazy catch and move the chains. And then their momentum would start going and then Brady would throw a touchdown. So I am happy to see Gronk right off into the sunset. What are your thoughts on it? Let me know your thoughts on this Gronkowski retiring. Because it's a big deal. It's a big deal in the sports world. I realize now that I never really made my case for Zion being the greatest college basketball player of all time. Let me just sum it up in a few words here because I'm running out of time and I have to get out to the living room because I have to give my kids nighttime cough syrup medicine so they go to sleep and they won't cough all night. But let me sum it up with this. This is why I think partially some of the reasons why I think Zion Williamson is the best college basketball player of all time. Let me know if you disagree. You'll be wrong, but let me know if you disagree. Send in the voice message to me. Let me know. But here it is. Because he is so stinking big and strong. Did you know there is only one player in the NBA who outweighs Zion Williamson? And Zion Williamson is 18 years old. Only one player in the NBA right at this moment who outweighs Zion Williamson. And it's that Boban prehistoric looking weird guy that plays for the 76ers now. And he played for the Clippers. I can't even think of his last name. He outweighs Zion. And I think maybe by 10 pounds or something. It's not by much, but he's like 7'4", 7'5". He's a giant dude. So Zion is huge. He's freakishly athletic. That guy can flat out fly when he jumps. And he doesn't look like he should be able to, but he can. He's super physical. He can hit threes. As we saw today, he can pass really well. And he's just smart. He's just a smart player. There is nobody that can stop him. There's nobody that can shut him down. And I don't know that there's ever been that with another college basketball player that has been where we've thought they might be the greatest. I remember them talking about Tyler Hansbrough being one of the best college basketball players of all time. And you think he could stop Zion? No. No way. He couldn't stop Zion. You think of these other guys through history that are great college basketball players, Danny Manning, you know, there are a bunch of them and we don't want to take anything away from them because they are great, but I think Zion is the best. Remember, Kobe didn't go to college. LeBron didn't go to college. Carmelo did, but he couldn't have stopped Zion. Zion is better than all of those guys or of Carmelo and all the ones who went to college. Zion is better than them. So he is a big, fast, strong, physical, smart, and just flat out talented. He hit big threes in the time. He's cool and calm. And when he drove that last one to the hole and Taco fouled out and Duke, and he made that shot and then missed the free throw, but then Duke scored right there at the end. That in my mind, I was thinking, man, that is a guy who is cool and calm under pressure, ready to take over a game. And he did that, exactly that. So Zion Williamson, that is my best college basketball player of all time. Let me know if you disagree. I want to hear it. If you do, send in a voice message or post it in the Facebook group. Voice messages are more fun, and I'll play them on here and interact with them a little bit. Those are more fun. I usually don't read the texts and the messages I get. I usually don't read them on here. So submit a voice message and we'll go from there. But guys, send me some things you'd like to hear me talk about as well for these 30-minute episodes. I've got a few guys I'm going to interview coming up here. I'm just waiting on times and what they say about when they can do it. So we're going to have some of those special episodes coming up that are an hour long, but let me know what you want to hear me talk about. I'll be glad to talk about other sports. Baseball starting, it's coming right around the corner. But specific things, especially if it's only 30 minutes, I'd like to talk about some of those things. So let me know what you're thinking. I thank you guys for listening to this. I hope it was enjoyable to you. This isn't something that's so serious. It's more laid back and relaxed, and that's what I wanted to do, a podcast like that. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for your feedback that I've been getting. I appreciate all of it, and just continue to do that if you would, and if you can, and if you think about it. And remember, guys, no matter how much we love sports, no matter how much it makes us excited or pains us because our team gets beat by 40 points the day after you say their coach should be coach of the year, it's just a game. In the end, it is just a game, and we know this to be a fact, that no matter the outcome of the sporting event we're watching, that God still reigns.